RTVE Audio. Descarga la nueva app y disfruta de los programas de RNE y nuestros podcasts originales.
Radio Exterior de España.
English Language Service.
Greetings from Madrid and welcome to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio, where we bring Spain to you through our shortwave broadcasts. Amy Egan speaking alongside my colleague Marilyn Quintana. What are we doing today, Marilyn?
Today we'll be talking about the art of manga, an exhibition with this title opened last week in Madrid with a section focusing on the arrival of manga and anime in Spain.
Manga, for those who don't know, are Japanese cartoons or graphic novels, and anime is Japanese animation in the same style. This year, the anime film The Boy and the Heron won Best Animated Film at the Oscars, and anime series and films are growing more and more popular outside of Japan, as are the manga they are often based on.
The English language broadcast visited the Art of Manga exhibition in Madrid and talked to Oriol Estrada, manga and anime specialist, about this art form, its history and its Spanish appeal.
Today we have help from sound technician Juan Morello and production help from Cristina Dorado.
Before we dive into the rest of the broadcast, the news from Spain.
On Monday morning, Spain's Prime Minister Pedro Sánchez announced the elimination of the Golden Visa.
Lo que vamos es a iniciar el procedimiento para eliminar la concesión de la llamada Golden Visa.
The regulation established by the People's Party's government in 2013 grants residence visa to foreigners who invest more than 500,000 euros in Spanish property. Mr. Sanchez announced this is one of the measures taken to guarantee housing is a right and not a speculative business.
Vamos a tomar las medidas necesarias para garantizar que la vivienda sea un derecho y no un mero negocio especulativo.
Countries like Portugal and Ireland have already eliminated this visa, which is thought to contribute to the increase of housing prices in critical areas. The modification of the law is expected to be approved in the Council of Ministers on Tuesday.
And in Madrid, hundreds of people gathered to protest against Madrid's regional minister Isabel Díaz Ayuso.
Protesters asked for Ms. Ayuso's resignation following the corruption case that involves her partner, Alberto González, and after it was revealed that the Madrilian government almost doubled the money awarded to Quirón Salud, the place where he works as a consultant.
Protesters also remember the 7,291 elders who died during the COVID-19 lockdown in Madrilian residences and who were allegedly denied assistance by order of the regional government.
You became richer while they died, they chanted. According to the government's delegation, 800 people were present at the protests, 2,500 according to the organizers.
This is the second protest organized against the Madrilian regional minister this year, and organizers warn it will not be the last one.
In international news, Mexico cut diplomatic ties with Ecuador. A police incursion in the Mexican embassy located in the Ecuadorian capital, Quito, has caused a diplomatic breach between both countries. Alicia Bárcena, Mexican ambassador.
El gobierno de México condena enérgicamente la violación de la inmunidad de su embajada.
The government of Mexico condemns the breaching of its embassy's immunity, and the diplomatic staff will appeal to the International Court of Justice and to all of the national and international institutions after this clear and flagrant breach of international law.
The Ecuadorian government, led by Daniel Noboa, ordered the arrest of former Vice President Jorge Glass, accused of corruption, who was taking refuge in the Mexican embassy while waiting for political asylum.
Ecuador's actions were condemned unanimously by international organizations. Urgent meetings have been called this week by the Community of Latin American and Caribbean States and the Organization of American States.
The Spanish government released a statement condemning the incursion, which constitutes a violation of the Vienna Convention, and called for respect to international law and concord between Ecuador and Mexico.
6 months have passed since the war in the Middle East began. The Israeli army seems to be retreating from Jan Yunis, the second biggest city in the Gaza Strip, although the retreat does not mean an end to the land operation. Yoav Gallant, Israel's Minister of Defense, assured they retreat to prepare for future operations like the ones we have seen in Al-Shifa and the one that will take place in Rafah. Israel also prepares for a possible attack from Iran in response to the Israeli attack on the Iranian consulate in Syria, which left 13 dead.
During these 6 months, Israel has killed more than 33,000 Palestinians, including 14,000 children, more than 100 journalists and 200 aid workers. After the killing of 7 aid workers from Spanish NGO Central World Kitchen, Chef José Andrés, founder of the NGO, said these attacks are unforgivable.
This doesn't seem a war against terror. This doesn't seem anymore a war about defending Israel. It's really, at this point, seems it's a war against humanity itself.
He also called for an independent international investigation.
And finally, on Monday, a total solar eclipse could be seen from North America. Millions of people in the USA, Canada, and Mexico got a chance to experience a complete solar eclipse as the moon fully blocked the sun, darkening the sky for a few minutes.
Here in Spain, the eclipse could be seen partially in the Canary Islands and the northern region of Galicia. We still have to wait a couple of years for the next complete solar eclipse in the peninsula, which will take place on the 12th of August of 2026, 67 years after the last one.
You're listening to
Radio Exterior de España.
Sailor Moon, One Piece, Attack on Titan, Dragon Ball, Full Metal Alchemist. These are titles of mangas you may be familiar with. Perhaps you know them because of their cartoon adaptations or anime adaptations. The world of manga or Japanese comics, of course, is immense and diverse and is only growing in popularity in the Western world.
For today's broadcast, Amy visited the new Art of Manga exhibition in Madrid's School of Architecture to learn more about it.
Oriol Estrada, expert in manga and anime, thank you so much for talking to the English language broadcast today.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
Well, this exhibition, it's huge. It shows the history of manga from its origins to the present day. Now, I've just walked through it. I've seen the origins as shown in this exhibition. I was wondering if you could tell our audience a little bit about where people think manga originated from. What years are we talking about?
Okay, so there are like several theories about it. We actually explain them because some people think it's like millennial art, you know, from the 7th century and stuff like that. There are, as I said, several theories about that. There are like some key moments in history of artists like Hokusai, who did like this very famous painting about a big wave, you know, and he had like these notebooks where he was drawing like sketches and doing like studies of the human figure and expressions, etc. And he called them manga, right? So some people say that's the origin of manga because of the content, but also because of the name, which was later adopted as the way to define what was comics, right?
What did manga mean? Why did he choose this name?
It's difficult to translate, but more or less it's like, let's say, how it's like heterogenic pictures, something like that. It's like, yeah, it's like very varied things with no connection between each other. So it's like very, you know, one thing about that, you have faces here, you have bodies here. There's no story in there. So that's why he called it manga.
Yeah, a bit of everything here. Yeah,
exactly, a bit of everything. Later on, manga has become more like funny pictures, which takes us to the origins of comics in the Western world too, because it's like it's been always associated to more gags, humor, etc. So that's when we come to the 19th century, when Western people go to Japan and they brought with them the satiric magazines, you know, comic strips from the US, from the UK, from France. And Japanese artists, you know, they started looking at that and they thought it was cool, and they started more or less doing something similar, considering they also had like this background of art history, you know, that they were always also using. Right?
I wanted to ask this question, people who might know a little less about it. What would you say, like, characterizes manga? Is it an art style? Is it a genre? How could we define it?
I mean, for me, manga is just comics. It's just the translation of comics. But if we talk about manga as a style, I wouldn't say it's a graphic style. I would say it's a... To me, it's like a language. It's a way to understand how to explain a story through pictures and text. Because they do it in a way that it's not just about the big round eyes. Okay, some people think that's the style, that's the manga style. No, we have examples here of character design that has nothing to do with big eyes, but it's manga. It's more about how they understand the development of the action, the way to show feelings and. The way, you know, the pages flow, it's quite a technical thing.
Maybe like a language of sorts.
Yeah, to me it's like a language. It's really a language that nowadays people from all around the world are speaking. Because mm-hmm. you have manga artists in Spain, you have them in France and in many other parts of the world.
So you can be a manga artist and not be Japanese?
For sure. I mean, we actually have Spanish artists working for the Japanese market. So that's, you know, the proof we have.
Talking about artists, here in the exhibition, we have this whole section dedicated to Osamu Tezuka, who is known as the god of manga. He's known for Kimba the White Lion, Astro Boy. I've seen the display. You have a whole section. It's like 400, what would you call them, tomos? Volumes, 400 volumes. So he drew a lot. I was wondering what makes him the god of manga. And I guess also when we talk about manga artists such as Tezuka, is the artist the artist, or do they also write? They produce everything. What exactly are they in charge of?
Usually they are like full artists, as we say in Spanish, which is the writing and the drawing. That's the more common thing. It's changing. We have now more than ever, I think we have like this writer and artist and a combo, let's say. But at the moment, the origins of manga, it was more common to have just one man or woman doing everything, which was the case of Tezuka.
That really puts the 400 volumes into perspective as well. He was writing and drawing.
Yeah, he had assistants too. Not authors, but he had assistants for inking and sometimes for backgrounds. But yeah, the most difficult part is thinking the story about the story, what to write, and then doing like the storyboard. That's actually the most difficult part. So that's always done by the artist, and then it's like more of a mechanical thing to ink. And I mean, it's not that it's not important, of course, but they had to work to really imitate the style of the original artist. So that's quite a job for them. About Tezuka, he's called the god of manga because he was like a very revolutionary artist from after the second World War. He redefined the way the language of manga. He had a lot of influence from cinema and Disney and lots of other stuff from the US and stuff like that. And people were like mind blown because the way he was using the panels, he was telling stories with lots of panels, using like close-ups and travelings and zooms, which was something that they were not used to. So a lot of younger artists were reading him and started like imitating him. So that's why they call him the god of manga. He introduced lots of new genres too, that people were not, you know, using a lot, and he started doing everything. So he has mangas about anything you can think of.
Yeah, what kind of genres?
He did a lot of science fiction at the beginning, but then he started doing westerns too, and he did superheroes, and he did drama and biographies. Lots of stuff.
A Renaissance man.
Yeah. I mean, he was the god of manga, but we can call him the god of anime too, because he was the first guy to do an anime TV series based on Astro Boy, and he like started the anime industry that we know today. So he was really a Renaissance man. He also knew how to play the piano, the trumpet, and lots of stuff. Yeah, he did lots of stuff.
Well, talking about anime, now part of this exhibition is dedicated to the arrival of manga in Spain, and a great part of that, I feel like, is the introduction of anime series on public television in the, I could say, the 70s, 80s?
We have even an example from the 60s. Kimba the White Lion was aired on Televisión Española in 1969.
Okay.
Probably the first anime series in Spain ever.
So Spain has this great catalogue of anime series that were just shown on public television. The general public was very familiar with them. They're part of the childhood of many Spaniards. And they're all animes, about European stories, so it's quite it's a bit confusing, but we've got Heidi.
Abuelito, dime tú, ¿por qué llovió, por qué nevó?
We've got Marco, the legend of El Cid. All sorts of things. So we've got things made in Japan that were aired here on Spanish television. When I arrived in Spain, Doraemon was huge. I'd never heard of it before in my life, but it was everywhere. So let's talk a little bit about the arrival of this style into Spain.
We didn't know this anime. We didn't know it was called anime. We didn't know it was from Japan. Most people didn't even know. There were Japanese characters sometimes, but we didn't even know because they were European stories, most of them, or from stories that took place in the US, something like that. So most people didn't know. But they were like this silent invasion. We started with just a few examples during the 70s with Marco, Heidi, Mazinger Z, and stuff like that. But later on, the 80s, it was like this, let's say, now full-scale invasion. It was cheap for different TV channels, because we also had the autonomic channels, like
the regional.
Regional, Catalan, and from Galicia, and it was very cheap, so they started buying lots of them. But we weren't conscious that they came from Japan. It changed a lot during the 90s when things like Captain Tsubasa, which we call Oliver y Benji, or Campeones.
Oliver, Benji, los magos del balón. Benji, Oliver, sueños de campeones.
Was aired in Telecinco, and then Dragon Ball, of course. That's when we finally knew this was coming from Japan. There was something called manga, which was Japanese comics, and that animation in Japan was called anime. So that's when we were, so that comes from Japan. So we started looking actively to what the Japanese were doing, both in manga and anime, and that's how, let's say, the manga and anime industry in Spain started.
I was wondering if you had any insight into how exactly this happened, why it happened, and why Western audiences are perhaps more open to it or more interested in it.
I think it happened a bit, let's just say, by accident. First of all, it was anime first, more than manga. Anime companies needed to earn a bit more money because anime production is not cheap. It's not cheap. It's very expensive. So they were looking for buyers from all around the world to buy them the product. They were competing with American animation, which obviously was huge, not just economically but culturally. So they had to go with lower prices. So many countries started buying anime because it was cheaper. So things started growing. It's like people started being used to one kind of animation, a certain kind of aesthetics. It was something that was back there until manga stepped in, and people started understanding that this was coming from Japan. We were used to hear, for example, in Spain, to American comics, most of it, or European comics. So it was like a breath of fresh air for us. Things were done differently. The stories they were telling, the designs, everything was different. So it was like, wow, what's this? Let's see what's this. And we started discovering that there was like this huge, huge industry of comic books and animation in Japan. It didn't work the same in every country. For example, in Spain, let's say that Akira and Dragon Ball were like the main main works that started everything. But maybe in the US, it was more Sailor Moon, because Dragon Ball wasn't a huge success first. It was Dragon Ball Z, like later on. So it was more Sailor Moon and other stuff. In northern countries, it was also not Dragon Ball. It was other series from Japan. So there was something about manga and anime that, you know, was different and was fresh and was original. So I think that's more or less how it started. But it was like very, let's say, like a niche, you know, first of all, but then started growing and growing like an infection, let's say.
Okay, I'm curious about this niche idea and its arrival in Spain. Do you think that perhaps there could be cultural ties between Spanish audiences and Japanese audiences that made Spain open to it in this different way?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, there are things that are very different, things that people thought that would never work here. But we have like one example, which is Shin-chan, Crayon Shin-chan.
Me las pido, vampiro.
Which was and still is. It's popular now, but it was huge the early 2000s in Spain. And it was never really successful anywhere else but Japan and Spain. So, like, this tongue-in-cheek humor and all this, like, very bad manners stuff, you know, scatological things, and that's something that connected, you know, both countries. And I think that's also present in Dragon Ball, for example, sometimes, and other mangas and anime. So maybe there's like this connection here, maybe.
Yeah, Shin-chan, the misbehaving little boy that when I came to Spain, that was what everyone was watching, what everyone was into, and I was so confused.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, some parents were complaining here, and also in Japan. Parents were complaining also in Japan, but the complaints were not really the same. It was for different reasons. People were complaining here about more of the you know, references to poop and Willy, Shin-chan's Willy and ass and stuff like that. And in Japan, it was more like, oh, he's the way he's talking to his mother. It's very, you know, it's not respectful and stuff like that. So we like the same thing. We didn't like the same things.
That was our conversation with Oriol Estrada, specialist in manga and anime, on occasion of the new exhibition, The Art of Manga, which recently opened in Madrid's Colegio de Arquitectos, the School of Architecture in Madrid.
That brings us to the end of today's broadcast. We'll end with the Sailor Moon theme in Spanish, which we feel is apt on occasion on today's eclipse. Moon Prism Power Makeup is the command that Sailor Moon's main character, Usagi Tsukino, uses to transform from a schoolgirl into the pretty guardian, Sailor Moon, in the original anime.
You've been listening to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio with Amy Egan and Marilyn Quintana. Today we've had help from sound technician Juan Morello and production help from Cristina Dorado.
We thank you for listening and hope you tune in for future broadcasts.
Despechos míos.